our hands-on teaching on how to move out in the gifts of the Spirit, how to step into higher levels of responsibility and operation in the kingdom of God. Last week we taught on how to meditate the Word. Did you enjoy that? Has anybody been doing it, juicing the Word? It will make all the difference in your walk with God. That's where faith is developed, juicing that Word. And tonight we're going to talk about laying hands on the sick. Let's start off. We're going to spend some time in the Word starting out before we get into some hands-on application. Turn to Mark chapter 16. How many know the Word becomes our platform to do anything for God? If we can't find it in the Word, we don't want it. Mark chapter 16. Have you got it? Now this is after Jesus rose from the dead, and he says in verse 7, in fact it's right before he ascended, in verse 17 it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now do you believe? Notice it didn't say those in full-time ministry. It didn't say those with a title. This is those that believe. "In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents," not on purpose, but if you have to, right? "And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We are to be doing that. Not just me, but the entire congregation. You're assigned to be medication from the kingdom of God. You're God's healing emissary to the world. And so tonight we want to talk about laying on our hands out of the Word, and then we're going to put into practice some of what, you know, we're learning. But one of the main reasons we lay hands on people is to see them healed. So let's look at some circumstances in Scripture where that takes place. Turn to Mark. You're in Mark, aren't you? Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 21, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live." Now, this is interesting to me because here we see Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, believed in the power of Jesus to lay hands on people. Now, was laying on of hands something they did commonly in Israel? Probably not, because we don't see many miraculous results. But Jesus was known for laying hands on the sick and seeing miracles take place. So he had a reputation of that power being in his hands. We're going to find out tonight that God's called you anointed. He has said his power resides in and upon you. And you can transfer that anointing many times by laying hands on somebody. Jesus did just this. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And let's go to verse number 38. "And he arose out of the synagogue," talking about Jesus, "and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them." Now he spoke to the sickness in that case, right? He just rebuked it, and it left. But in verse 40, it says, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with them with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." He laid his hands on every one. Sometimes he would speak to the infirmity. Other times he would lay hands on everybody. But we see in the Scriptures the number one way people were healed was by the laying on of hands. Amen? It becomes a contact point for your faith. And it also allows you to transfer anointing in a tangible fashion. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And let's go to verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Understand, there was a demon behind this infirmity. I believe most sicknesses have a demon behind it. I know there's bacteria. I know there's viruses. I know there's physical situations. But a spirit's blocking the natural healing power to flow in their lives. 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Here we see He laid His hands on a woman that was bent over for 18 years, and she was miraculously healed. And then go to Acts chapter 28. And here's Paul. He's on the island of Malta. It says in verse 8, And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Here we see Paul laying hands on the sick, and they are healed. I've seen many people healed by many different methods. I've prophesied. I've been on the phone. I've prayed third party. But the number one way I've seen people healed is by laying on of hands. When Pastor Bob died, my hands, my arms, everything on top of his head. Speak life into him. God has ordained the laying on of hands as a method to release His power. In fact, look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 1, Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, he's saying we need to advance in our understanding of the things of the kingdom. He's saying we don't need to keep teaching these same basic things. So what we're reading in these couple verses are basic teachings that they understood in the book of Hebrews were foundational truths, not advanced teachings. You know, when we announce in here we're teaching on the laying on of hands, people think, oh, what advanced teaching. Well, to them, it was basic. Because he goes on and he says of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. He puts the laying on of hands in the same category as teaching about the resurrection. How many know the resurrection is basic teaching for us? I mean, if you've been a Christian very long, you know that Jesus rose from the dead. You also know that we're going to rise at some future time, right? At least our natural bodies, when we die, we go on to be with Jesus, our spirit does, but later our bodies will rise. And so here he says the laying on of hands is a basic truth of the kingdom. Yet how many churches are doing it? How rare is it to go to a church and find they're laying hands on people? Amen? And so apparently the church in the United States has missed it somewhere. We've left off some basics. Notice he says also, and of baptisms, plural. Water, of the Holy Ghost, and even of fire. There's more than one baptism. There's one baptism of water that represents you've been saved, but there's others that impart power into your life. That's basics. Yet how many churches are receiving the baptism of the Spirit? Surely not the majority. We've missed it with the church somewhere. So tonight we're teaching on the laying on of hands. And if you're going to lay hands on somebody, you're going to impart power that's on you into their life. But if we're going to do that, there's a problem if there's no power on you. Amen? I mean, it would be like trying to jump a dead battery with a dead battery. You know, somebody's car won't start, and you go, well, let me push mine over there. Mine won't start either, but maybe I can jump yours off. If you're going to jump somebody off, you need some power in your life. And all of the things of the kingdoms we taught this morning are accessed by faith. So I invite you, if you want to start seeing the sick healed, you need to start confessing the anointing into your life. And one of the verses I've confessed probably above any other in this realm is in Luke chapter 4. So let's turn there. This is preparation work for laying hands on the sick. And understanding here, we teach you not just to read a verse, but to personalize it, right? When you were juicing the verses last week, we said, now put it in first person. Recognize that verse was written to you. Now in Luke chapter 4, we have a verse that was written about Jesus, but we get to claim it as well. Amen. It says, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He's quoting out of Isaiah. He's going to read in the temple, right? And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. Say anointed. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus said he was anointed to do the miraculous. He is referred to as Jesus Christ, right? It's really better termed Jesus the Christ. And the Christ was referring to him being the Messiah, which means the anointed one. Jesus, the one carrying the supernatural power of God. Well, understand, after Jesus went to the cross, he qualified us to become Christians, right? They started recognizing on the disciples. They weren't originally called Christians. But in the book of Acts, as they went on and ministered, they recognized the same power was on them that was on Jesus. And they referred to them as Christians, meaning little anointed ones, or followers of the anointed one. And so we are anointed. You're anointed of God, but you have to believe it and access it by faith. So I invite you to start confessing over your life. Commit this verse to memory. Speak it over yourself several times a day. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me, right? To preach the gospel to the poor. And confess that verse saying, I am anointed. But guess what? If you don't spend time charging your battery with something, there'll be nothing on it to release to somebody else. You know, the microphone I'm using right now uses rechargeable batteries. If we don't periodically put them back in the recharger, then eventually they're not going to work. And we have to maintain a spiritual momentum. We talked about this morning as well. Confessing the word and getting our faith connected to what God has promised, that we can function in his power. And you've got to recognize the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens or makes alive your mortal bodies. The same power that Jesus walked in, you can walk in. One of my favorite verses, if not my favorite verse in Scripture, is John 14:12. Let's turn there. And I know many of you can probably quote it. But what a powerful verse. Jesus says this, verse 12, chapter 14. Verily, verily, he is basically saying, I guarantee this is true. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, remember, he that believeth shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, which were all supernatural in content, shall he also do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus said we could do what he did. Amen. But Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. The Spirit does them through me, basically, is what he said. I move out in the power of God. I move out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, you can do greater than I'm doing. You've got to believe that the anointing is available to you in unlimited capacity. You've got to believe that you're qualified to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You've got to believe that God's already made available everything you need to carry that power and then decree it over your life. Go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Now look at verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. We talked about this morning, right? His promises are guaranteed. Then he says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, in the Anointed One and His anointing, and hath anointed us is God. Hath anointed. Past, present, or future tense. Past. And because it's past, it's also present and future. Do you follow me? He wasn't talking about he did, but it passed away. It's on you now. You've already been anointed. Now all you've got to do is by faith access that power that's resident within that kingdom of God realm that you have connection to on the inside of you and start to release it by faith. And laying hands on the sick is a faith operation. You know, I watch some people move out in the gifts of the Spirit in a different fashion than I have often in the past, and I love the way they do it. I love how Elaine says she sees like an x-ray. Well, in my opinion, it'd be a whole lot easier to declare a healing over somebody if you saw it in an x-ray than you're just kind of picking up an inclination. You follow me? Pastor Callan sees things in people's bodies, in his mind's eye. Now, Elaine sees the person, she sees the x-ray. Pastor Callan just sees it in his mind's eye in the realm of the Spirit. And he speaks out what he sees and says, who is this? And multitudes get healed by that. I normally have not healed by that very many times. But I have, and I've healed both ways in the past at times. Usually I just know something about somebody or about a group of people in general. The thing is whichever way it is, it's going to require your faith. You've got to believe what's on you is able to take care of what's on them. And so we've got to believe that we're anointed. Now we've been talking about laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed, but we see laying on of hands used for several purposes in the Word. I want to look at a few more of those while we're at it. So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Got a lot of scripture tonight, but that's a good thing. Well, there's just so many verses, that's just more bullets for you to use. Did you hear about the guy that broke into a woman's apartment? And she shot him 7 times, killed him. So when the authorities got there and said, why did you shoot him 7 times? She says, I ran out of bullets. Anyway. There's no limit to the bullets you have in the kingdom of God, right? Acts chapter 8, and I want to go to verse number 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. They'd already been saved, but he says he wants them to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they've been baptized into his name, but not in the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues. Then laid their hands on them. You see that? And they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon, this is Simon the sorcerer, who had supposedly gotten saved, saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And of course, Peter rebuked him, right, for trying to buy a gift. They laid hands on believers already saved to get filled with the Spirit so they could pray in the Spirit. Right? Going over to chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They had not heard about the baptism of the Spirit, although they had gotten saved, they had believed. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. In other words, the baptism of water. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when, in other words, verse 5 says, When they heard it, they were baptized into the name of Jesus. They became official members of the church, probably born again at that spot. But verse 6 says, And when, can we just say, and then when? And then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So first they got saved, and then he laid his hands on them, and they became filled and spake with tongues. And so one of the most common ways we see people filled with the Spirit is by the laying on of hands. I couldn't tell you how many people I've led into baptism, how many people I've seen filled with the Spirit. And some I've just gotten saved and they got filled. Pray for them, they get filled. Others, you lay hands and declare it, and they get filled. And that's been the vast majority of people I've seen filled, is by laying on of hands. So tonight, as we're teaching about laying on of hands, understand what you're doing with healing, you can also do with the baptism of the Spirit, which is a whole other lesson that we're going to do here in the near future. Amen. But there's another use in Scripture for the laying on of hands. In fact, a couple of them. Go to Acts chapter 6. Is this okay with you? Hallelujah. Acts chapter 6. And it says, verse 3, Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men full of honest report, or of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Talking about taking care of the meals, taking care of the widows, running the administrative roles of the church. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. That was the assignment of the disciples, of the apostles, right? To be in the Word. And the saying blessed the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Many times laying on of hands is used to ordain people into the ministry or into a position. Here is deacons, they laid their hands on them. Why? To release an impartation, whether wisdom or strength or of giftings, whatever God led them in, there was a laying on of hands to assign those people into that position. In our ministry, when we ordain people, we lay hands on them and prophesy. Amen? And so that is also used to bring people into an office. Let's look at a few more situations of that. Acts chapter 13. You know, the hand is such a personal thing. It's what you use to contact other people. Now, in sports, they may use a chest bump, but normal people use a handshake, a pat on the back, right? And here we avoid the holy kiss among members except for our spouses. Let's keep it that way. I remember years ago we had a guy in the church, and I went to hug him. He gave me a kiss on the cheek. And I went, Jesus! It was his holy kiss. I thought, not here. Praise God, there were no cell phones back then to take pictures. Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as he ministered to the Lord and fasted the Holy Ghost, said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. The Spirit of God spoke to him and says, I've got an assignment for them. Send them forth. And when they had laid their, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And boom, here goes Barnabas and Saul out on this assignment. They laid their hands to authorize them for the position they were about to fill. Right? I'm sure releasing the authority, releasing covering, releasing giftings, whatever they could impart to them. Laying out of hands is used as a transfer medium between believers. You follow me on that? A transfer apparatus between believers. So we say laying on hands for that. Go over to 1 Timothy. 4. First Timothy chapter 4. In chapter 14, Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Paul tells Timothy there are gifts on your life that were transferred by the laying on of hands. And so he says, don't let them slip. Don't quit using them. Use what you've been given, because what you don't use, you're in jeopardy to lose. God's anointed you. Learn to use it. It's amazing, you know, how the gifts of God, if not used, tend to become dormant in our life. It's kind of like, you know, Patty will make this chicken soup, and she puts all these great things in the chicken soup, but when she puts it on the counter and it sets for a few minutes, all the good stuff goes to the bottom. So you got to stir it up. Get all the stuff circulating, and then you scoop out what you want. If you like me, you cheat, and you get a little colander, and you just get a spoon with holes in it, you know. Your gifts that aren't used sink to the bottom within you. It's important to start using the anointing in your life, because it keeps things stirred up, and it allows them to become perfected, and you become so much more familiar, because you're using by faith, it becomes so much easier to access. You know, Nancy's prophesying in here all the time. I want her to. There's a gift in her. I want stirred up. I want it in here. So what's she doing? If it's there, she's using it. Don't let the thing sink down. Don't push it down. Well, you know, they heard me prophesy, you know, so many times. I just better not this time. I might have. You keep that thing going. Whatever gift God's given you, keep it operational. It's serving a purpose, right? And so, Pastor Kellen teaches years ago, when he was at a different ministry. He was operating in the healing power of God, and he was walking in divine health, and the church was rejecting the healing message. He quit teaching it, and they were just throwing it back in his face. He quit teaching it, and all of a sudden, he started getting symptoms himself. And he went to God and basically said, what you're teaching, I will do in your life. It's keeping you more active. And he went back to teaching on healing, and boom, there he stepped straight into it himself. Use it or lose it. Amen. Look at, here's an often misunderstood verse. Go to chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 22 says, now understand, this is a letter to Timothy from Paul, right? Timothy was one of Paul's pastors under him. He'd filled many roles, but in this case, he's a pastor. So he's instructing Timothy about how to lead the church. And then he says in verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. Well, we've had this misinterpreted in the church for years. Here's how they used to teach it, at least how I originally heard it. You got to be careful who you're laying hands on, because their devils will jump on you and you'll become a partaker of their sins. I don't believe that for a minute. Well, I know about, you know, where the men tried to cast out devils, the seven sons of Stephen, the devils jumped on them. They weren't even believers. I believe when you lay hands on somebody, so much anointing's on your life, the devil wants nothing to do with it. Amen? These are actually different, separated statements. Lay hands suddenly on no man, and don't be a partaker of other men's sins. It didn't say those men, it says other men's. Well, listen, as a pastor, you get hit with so many assaults of the enemy trying to get you to compromise, trying to get you to buy into the world's ways. And understand, at this time in history, idolatry was running rampant in the world. And Paul's saying, you've got to keep yourself pure from those things. But what's it mean to lay hands on no man suddenly? Jesus! It's not talking about how quick you do it. What it's referring to is Paul, as Timothy as a pastor, was ordaining elders into position, leaders into position. And Paul was talking about, be careful who you put into leadership, because it will come back and bite you if it's the wrong person. Right? It tells us in the other writings, it says, make sure when you're putting somebody in an elder position that they're not a novice that's being lifted up with pride. It isn't being destruction for many other people, to paraphrase. He's telling Timothy, take your time before you put somebody into a position. And laying on their hands is how they would impart gifts unto people and how they would ordain them into those positions. And so I take that to heart. We generally use great care in here before we put somebody into a leadership type position, because I want to know what's in them. Amen? I want to know what's flowing in their life. I want to see it personally many times. So we don't receive people's resumes. We watch their life. Amen. So Paul was telling Timothy, just be careful who you're putting into what. And I have done that. I've put people into positions in the past a few times that have come back to bite me. Amen. And so that's what he's referring to. Now, there's a few other cases we see people having hands laid on them. So turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verse 13. Then were brought unto him, Jesus, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. We say here, Jesus laid his hands on little children. Why? Was he ordaining them into an office? Was he getting them baptized in the Holy Spirit? Probably not needing healing. He was blessing them. He was releasing a blessing to their life, whether he knew what it was, and of course in our case, many times don't know what it is or not. If you say, Father, bless them, lead them in the path they should go, protect them from evil, from deliver them from temptation, you're speaking, even prophesying. And we've had prayer lines in the past where we just lay hands on the children. We did that a while back. Remember that? It was about a year ago. And all of Grace's children came up and we prophesied over every one of them. God's interested in the children. And it was clear as a bell what God was speaking over their lives. So we see there's a situation also. You could just lay hands on the children. Lay hands on the adult. When I go to Ghana, they ask me to pray for people and bless them. They want hands laid on them. And they don't even know what for. They just want you to touch them. And they'll come up and fall on their knees. And I'll say, get up. I just don't like people falling on their knees in front of me. But they're doing it as a form of honor. And lay hands on me. Whatever God wants to do. But they want that blessing. So again, we see hands laid on as a form of transfer from the third heaven to the first. And you get to be the vessel that God moves through. One other situation, Revelation chapter 1. One other that I want to look at. Here, John's marooned or exiled on the island of Patmos. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Jesus appears to him. And it says in verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And he goes on talking, you know, declaring over John, or to John. Jesus, in a vision, lays his hand on John. Now, if the resurrected Jesus lays his hands on you, it should be a sign to us that we should be laying hands on people. He gave us an example, right? And so tonight, I want to start talking about the nuts and bolts of laying hands on people. And should we have time, we're going to practice it just a little bit. And so, regarding laying hands on people, we already talked about building yourself up, about the preparation work to confess the anointing on your life. Well, then you've got to know when it's time to pray for somebody. You know, you just can't go to the hospital room to room and say, hey, I want to pray for you. They'll probably kick you out, and that's really not the way that God did it. Repeatedly, as we mentioned this morning, Jesus expected people to come to him. It says in James 5, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders who will anoint him with oil. So there's a need for somebody to take some initial step of faith to position himself to receive of that laying on of hands for healing, right? And so, but be sensitive when somebody may have an open, giving you open door to pray. One of the ones I've seen time and time again is I'll be going through a checkout stand and the cashier will say, I have a horrible headache. And I'll say, can I pray for you? And it's, oh, certainly, usually. Some will say, no, it's all right. You know, here's a flake I'm not messing with. But some will say, yeah, please. And I'll ask, may I lay my hand on you? And usually if the pain's bad enough, they'll say, whatever you want to do. And almost without exception, when I do, they get healed. But you've got to position yourself to get permission to pray. And know when God's even calling you by the Spirit of God, you'll feel an unction to go to that person to pray. But as well, if they come to you, you've got to be able to step into that role of healing. Right? It's amazing how many people are in my family that don't believe what I'm doing, at least verbally, until they're sick. And then invariably I get a call, can you pray for me? Or can you pray for some other person in the family? And we're often seeing people pray for in the family that get healed that don't even want to go to church. But yet they know enough to call and access that power. God wants people healed. I believe that Jesus hates seeing anybody, any of his creation, under the bondage of sickness, under any oppression the enemy will bring. He wants you free. And so you've got to know when you've got permission or an open door or when you're to step out. Amen. But you should always be primed and ready for that opportunity. If you're really confessing the anointing is upon you, you want to use it. It's amazing, when, at least with guys, when a guy gets a new tool, he wants to use it. He gets a new gun, where can I shoot it? New fishing pole, let's go fishing. New tools, what can we work on? Are women like that too? New pots and pans, oh, what can I cook for my husband to make his day? What skillet can I hit him up the side of the head with when he says that? You want to use what you have. Once you start confessing the anointing, you'll start looking for opportunities to release it. Amen. Because you want to experience that. So once you found an open door to experience it and you're going to lay hands on somebody, I believe it's very important to start declaring your righteousness when you do. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And through the blood, they're potentially righteous. And you come forward where you expect the power of God to flow. You know, we didn't go to that verse. It was in Luke chapter 4, and I said, I'm not going there right now. But in Luke chapter 4, Jesus went to his hometown. And it says, because they rejected him, we know who you are. You're the son of the carpenter. We know your brothers and sisters. And it says there, he could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Except he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Other translations say he laid his hands on a few sick people with minor ailments and healed them. He could do no mighty work. Why? Unbelief. So with regard to you releasing the gift, you've got to get rid of any condemnation or fear. It's not going to work. I believe it's important that in your mind, you create a mentality of, Father, I'm your vessel. I'm anointed. You position me here for this moment. And I believe as I lay hands on this person, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, your power is going to flow through me. And I believe because they've come forward, there's a faith connection, and your power is going to touch them. And you offer yourself up to be a vessel for that power to flow through. Amen. And you expect it to flow through you. I expect the power of God to move when I pray for people. Amen. And the more you expect it is a representation of how much faith you have in it, and the more it's going to flow. There's a few people in our church that see more people filled with the Holy Spirit than anybody else in the ministry. Really, I know three of them. Because they so have faith, if they lay hands on somebody, they're going to be filled. So many times, I'll bring them over for a service. I'll say, okay, I want you to teach on the baptism and lay hands on whoever wants it. And I know they're going to get filled. Why? Because their faith is for that. Amen. I know if I call Nancy up, she's going to prophesy. She's going to have a word for them. And I believe if I come up, they're going to be healed. So it's where you've made that faith effort to develop. And I've seen many people filled. And I prophesied. But my faith is greater for healing than it is for those other two, even though I see all three. And so, build your expectation by knowing you're anointed and knowing you're righteous. And then, learn to sense the anointing. Now, this is where it takes practice. You can't teach this. It takes practice. As you lay hands on people, you will start to feel the anointing in whatever fashion God has you experience it. Many people experience it differently. There are some healing ministers, they know it's time to pray for people when their hands heat up. I believe it was William Branham. Was it Branham or Fletcher? Said an angel would show up in the service, and he would know when the angel would feel the angel's presence, and that angel was there to heal. And when that angel showed, he wouldn't pray for a single person until an angel showed up, and he knew then it was time. Amen. And so I don't know what fashion the angel was involved in the healing. You know, the anointing does the healing, but that angel showed up, and it was time, and he saw 100% manifestation of everything. How does God have you step out? Everybody's going to be different. How does he have you step out and heal? I feel the anointing as a pressure wave. If you see me praying for people, it's very common. They'll be standing here, and I'll stand in front of them, and I'm waiting for the anointing. Because I don't want to pray until the anointing shows up. Amen. And I'll feel it increase. And I'll feel myself being pushed backwards by almost an invisible pressure wave of the power of God. And then when I lay hands on them, very often, I will feel the power of God go down my arm into that person. I've described many times like just taking a gas pump hose and putting it in. I'll just hook it up the gas hose. And I'll feel it. And as long as I'm feeling that power, I will usually want to leave my hand on their head or whatever I'm touching. Why? That's God's power moving into them. Now, you lay hands on somebody, it may feel differently. The key is you've got to learn to sense and know and flow with the anointing. Sometimes you'll lay hands on people and you'll feel it bounce back. It goes down your arm, hits them, and you feel it hit like a rock wall, and it comes right back up again. And you learn to sense that. So then if you're laying hands on somebody and you feel like they're not receiving, or maybe the anointing's not even showing up, you've got to be able to determine what is the blocker right here. What's the blessing blocker? And even call upon the gifts of the Spirit to work with you as far as the word of wisdom or knowledge. And you may recognize, usually it'll come to me as a knowing. Other people it comes as a prophetic word, or they see, but all of a sudden know. They're living in sin and trying to hide it. Or they don't really believe they deserve to be healed. That's usually the number one. They think they've sinned too bad for God to heal them. Or that God put it on them, or God's teaching them a lesson. So what do? You stop everything, you shut it down, and you lead them into confessions of Scripture that neutralize that, or lead them into a repentance that positions them for the healing. So all these work together in the laying on of hands to cooperate with the anointing and cooperate with the Holy Spirit to see them delivered and made whole. Are you following this? And so it's part of that relationship where you and God have an ongoing conversation. When I'm laying hands on people, I'm always in conversation with God. Ongoing. What's going on here? What's going on? I'm just saying in Jesus' name be healed, but in my mind I'm going, okay, God, what's going on here? What am I feeling? What am I picking up? What do I need to address? What do I need to clear the air with? To make a resistance-free line to flow the maximum power into their life. Amen. And often the anointing can become so strong when you're praying for people, you virtually become inebriated by it. Or, you know, weak at the knees or whatever because so much power is flowing through you. Jerry Seville years ago told God he wanted more anointing. I think I shared this recently. He said, God, I just want more anointing. And God stopped him after some time of seeking. And he says, I can't give you more anointing. Your physical body's too out of shape. Half the anointing I've given you is keeping you alive. You can't sustain any more of this. The anointing is a source of power. And if you're not physically in shape, it will exhaust you. It will wear you out. Amen. I have a friend, a past associate, we'll say, that years ago, the Lord told him the devil's going to try to kill you by the anointing. You need to get in condition, and he didn't. And he was praying for somebody, and his heart exploded. He felt something rip in his heart, and was in agony for days. And got back, and by faith, God gave him a new heart. Amen. Somebody, in fact, Pastor Callan spoke it out in the service. He got a brand new heart. The anointing, if you're not in condition, will exhaust you. Many times after a Sunday morning service, after being in anointing for that couple hours of teaching and whatever else, I'll go home and I just need a nap. It's very common for ministers that move in anointing to take a nap on Sunday afternoon just to refresh for the next service. Amen. So it's important that you maintain physical strength to flow in the anointing. And then I want to mention this. A good percentage of the time somebody comes from the prayer line and you go to pray for them, you'll realize they've got company. Demons seem to want to come up in prayer lines. if nothing else, just to confound the minister, to muddy the waters, to create a scene or whatever. And if you're going to be laying hands on people, you've got to recognize when the demonic's trying to bring confusion. Not that they're going to jump on you, but they will try to lie to you. They'll try to confuse you. They'll try to make you think it doesn't work. And you got to recognize when that manifests. And know when it's time to take authority. When is the time to address these things? When is the time to cast the devil? When is the time to kick out the devil? Amen. Or say later. You know, there's times you're ministering to people that are demonic, and it's not time to cast out. They need more word in them first. So you may send them home with an assignment. Go work these scriptures. Or maybe some devil has been on their life for years, is blocking their thinking, their ability to receive of that blessing. You've got to address that with the word. But I've had many, many times, I've had devils manifest in a prayer line. And you've got to know that when they do, you've got authority as well. I believe it's important to work your revelation of being anointed and your revelation of your authority, because the two work together to see God's power released in your life. Amen? Have you gotten anything out of this? Praise you, Jesus. Well, what I want to do, my goodness, we've already gone 55 minutes. Oh, but I took like a 20-minute break, pause where I was looking for that verse, didn't I? I want to do some hands-on training. Is this okay with you? Is anybody in pain tonight? Come on up here, Carol. Amen. Now I'm going to ask for who would like to practice this first? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Grace, come up here. We'll get you next, Connie. Where's the pain? Ooh. Now see, the anointing, as she stepped up, the anointing just dropped. Because, oh, glory. See, you just said that again and the power of God hit. Now, we're not just praying, we're training. So we'll pray for you the next half an hour or so. We'll get to you. Where's the pain at? Now I want to ask you, do you feel the anointing right now? When you stepped up, did you feel the shift in the anointing? Whoa, glory to God. They're behind you. And so what I want you to do is, I want to hear your feedback. How do you feel the anointing when you pray for it? Because you said you prayed for it before. She says a wave or a tingling she feels. Well, let's start off. Where's the pain the worst at? In your hips. It's nothing. It's healed. That's just a name. So I want you to lay your hands on where the pain is. Now, step back just a minute before you do. Step back before you do. Grace. I want you when you feel the anointing at the right peak, because I'll feel it peak and I'll know when it peaks now. It may feel like it's building up, like charging or, you know, loading. And when it gets loaded, you know, then you put those defibrillators on her. So when you feel ready, I want you to lay hands on her. See, I felt at the same time she did. Now speak to it whenever you're ready. Now command it to go. Command that pain to go. Jesus' name. Jesus! Treat the pain like it's an invader that's trying to trespass in your territory. It would be like, you know, some big rat came in your house and you're going to run it out. You're not going to be nice to it. You know, hey, get out of here in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I'm reacting because I'm feeling anointing. Carol, move your legs. See if you feel any difference. How's it feel? Better? And the knee's hurting? Thank you, Jesus. All right. You can sit down. Connie, come on. You had your hand up. This is all going. Praise you, Jesus. You feel the anointing? All right, step up here. How do you feel the anointing right now? Lay your hand on her knee, her left knee, when you're ready. Healed in Jesus' name. Command some stuff. Are you feeling any anointing going through your arm or anything else? Connie, are you feeling anything? Move your knee, Carol. Move your knee. Is it hurting? Excuse me a second. Excuse me one second. Stand right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority of all this pain over the Jesus name right now. In the name of Jesus, pain you go. Patty, come here, quick. Put your hands on her hips. Right now, in Jesus' name, all pain go. Jesus, now you go. Every bit of it. Total liberty in those joints right now in the name of Jesus. She cannot stay. We rebuke bursa versa, supercalifragic, whatever it is, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Command all this pain to go. The pain goes out of her hands right now in Jesus' name. Jesus. Zakarabasi. What's going on, Carol? Still hurting pretty bad? I'm just going by your face. It's all right. I'm just trying to get a report. Do you feel pain still? You feel a difference in it at all? In the hip area. The knee feels worse. Left. Jesus' name. We command it healed. Now see, as she's praying, I was hearing the Holy Spirit say, now walk her. Now activate it. Remember acting on your faith? And we've done this before. So let's walk. We speak this healed. Now say I'm healed. All pain's far from me. My physical body is restored. In Jesus' name. You guys, can you move that chalkboard? In the name of Jesus. Pain cannot stay in Carol's body. Cannot do it. All of it goes. Healed right now. I just feel a peace coming on you. We're a pain-free church. We've declared it. How's it feeling? It's getting better? Feel the difference? Faith without works is dead, being alone. Let me see what you can do. Shokorabasi. Put your foot on the top of Robert's shoulder. I'm just... Could you do that before? Oh, it's okay. You're okay. Hey, challenge it again. If you feel faith for it, don't do it because I tell you to. We're kind of combining this morning's lesson with tonight's. Sometimes you got to challenge that pain. Shara's all right. Don't worry about it. Healed right now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord God. You're doing good. You're doing good. You're a warrior. Amen. Warrior that's had some pain, but you're a warrior. Now let's set her over here. We don't want to max her out. She'd have debated. Now, Carol's done this in the past, right? Remember the time she couldn't even hardly move? And by the time we were done, she was totally restored. She'll see it tonight, too. She'd have debated, Pastor Rebecca, anything you want to add to this? Pastor Nancy? A what? You said somebody speaking a curse over you is what keeps coming back. We'll let you talk later. We'll figure it out. Amen. Amen. It's a good thing we're above the curse. Amen. We just bind those words and break them off in Jesus' name. Well, listen. Practice what you've learned. What if I pray and nothing happens? Well, then nothing will have changed. They were in pain before you prayed for them. They're pain afterwards. Hey. But God honors your step of faith. And you're going to see some things happen even above your faith as you launch out and do this. I remember one of the first people I prayed for with a major ailment had cancer, terminal cancer. And God healed. Apply what you've learned. And watch God continue in the training program. Amen. We're to be a church of people all flowing in His power. Seeing miracles take place. Anybody have any questions? Thoughts? Yes, Nancy. Yeah. Louder. Uh-huh. It does. It does. Because men have a free will, we have no authority to come against their free will. And so that permission actually opens the door in their life for you to use your authority with regard to. Did you follow that? And so I believe that's why it's a good point. That is a great part of it. You know, witches go against men's authority. The Spirit of God never will. So He wants an open door to go in and move. That's what we pray. Father, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're given God permission to move in our lives. And so people are doing that for us to move in their lives. Any other thoughts or comments? Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Restate your question. Well, if you're afraid to ask, your faith is already shaken. But I would always let the word be the one that decides for me. And the word says, is any sick among you? Go to the elders. And I would just accept that as a commandment of God and say, it's not up to me, it's up to the word, and do it. And now you're giving God access to move in your life. And if it doesn't work, you know, there's a whole list of reasons faith doesn't work sometimes. And it's more than just a lack of faith. It's going to be other things that block it, like we talked about this morning, some of those. And I would say, hey, I didn't get it right away, but you know, they prayed for me, and it says I'm healed. I'm going to hold to it. We discovered that, in fact, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Recover represent the passages of time. Sometimes healings are immediate, but I'm betting you before the night's over, Carol's totally pain-free or very close to it. We've seen this before. And if you don't see immediate results, you don't say, well, it didn't work, because when you do, you neutralize that impartation. You say, the word says I'm healed, and I'm not stepping off of my confession until I see that manifest. Amen? Would you like me to pray for you tonight? Well, come on up here. Thank you, Jesus. Is it something you can share with me? Okay. Sure. Okay. All right. Uh-huh. Amen. Okay. Well, that's a good sign. You know, the Bible says first the blade, then the ear, then the full corner ear. Sometimes healing is in phases even. I'm so glad you're on the kingdom of God side where it's 100%.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Amen. Okay.
So I'm afraid.
Well, I wouldn't let whether this manifests now determine your position with God. You know, let me ask you a question. Carol didn't see total results right away. Did that shake your faith in God?
No.
No, let me finish. If it didn't shake your faith for Carol, it shouldn't shake your faith for you.
Understand that.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But God's real. His power is real. He loves you as much as he loves anybody. And he wants you healed. And the good news is you're new to this. You're new in here. And so I am confident whether it manifests or not, as you keep coming, it's going to manifest. Because sometimes it just takes more word coming in and getting rid of fear. You know, you said you're afraid. Well, the word will dislodge fear. And meditating these healing scriptures, we said, will push doubt out of your life. Now, we're going to pray, and I believe for the gift to kick in. But remember we said this morning, the gift doesn't always kick in. Right? But you have a right to keep working the word until faith overtakes anything that would come against you. So now I would just say, God, let's repeat after me. Father, I believe you're the healer. I believe you want me healed. And I believe healing is a free gift. I desire to receive of it right now. No matter what happens, I believe you're Creator God. I believe you're my Savior. And I trust in you with my whole heart. Now I receive that healing gift. And when Pastor Jack lays his hands on me, I receive the full impartation of the supernatural anointing to deliver me from these symptoms. In Jesus' name. Now, is it your lower back? Waist down. Rastanda bakad yaradevashi. I'm going to lay my hand on your back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for miracle manifestation right now. Thank you, Jesus. We lay hands on people and they recover right now. I decree Karen totally recovered, totally healed, all tingling and numbness goes, all damage to her nervous system is restored in Jesus' name, and it never returns. Every bit of it goes. Yeah. Been waiting 30 years for this. Go ahead. Hang on. We're going to make this official. Testing.
Oh, I just wanted to say, don't get discouraged either. Like, if you don't see that healing instantly. One time I had a pea-sized lump in one of my breasts. And I had Pastor Callahan pray for me. And it was still there. By morning, totally gone. One time I had what I thought was probably sciatic nerve. I don't really know for sure. That when you had the pain in the back of your, and it shoots down. Well, I had Pastor Callahan pray for me for that. And it was so painful, I couldn't even hardly walk. And I felt it lift like, it was about like 80% gone that night, but it was, some of it was still there. By morning, it was gone. And there's just been healings like that. You know, sometimes it might not always be instant, but you know, you believe you receive, and it's going to be gone.
And the key is never say it didn't work.
Yeah.
Because it curses your seed. Never say it didn't work. Always say, I am healed. Always agree with the word. You had something, didn't you, Nancy? Hang on, Karen. Get her up. Hang on, Karen. How's your back feel? Is it tingling still? We're believing you're healed. See how she's backing up? I'm walking toward that anointing.
I was walking it. I'm doing the act. I was walking it up.
Amen. Okay. Amen. You're going to see it totally go away. I believe that. Amen. Thank you for letting me pray for you. This has been good tonight, hasn't it? You have to practice the anointing. Now, would you have Nancy? No? Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to seal it in our understanding, cause it to be people that flow in your supernatural power. We thank you this church has none sick, none in pain. We're all healed by the power of your word. None die except at a very, very old age when they're ready. Otherwise, we remain in covenant, one vision, one heart, one spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, share the love of God. I'm sure there's tacos and chicken left.